Whether you're new to aviation or an experienced pilot looking to advance your skills, Go Vertical Aviation has you covered. With an excellent learning atmosphere and a staff committed to excellence in education, Go Vertical Aviation will customize a learning program just for you. For more information, go to goverticalaviation.com or call 256-412-5226. Be sure to follow Go Vertical Aviation on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Don't just go. Go Vertical.
Boutique Air in Muscle Shoals, Alabama offers direct flights to Atlanta, Nashville, and Pensacola. Boutique Air service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Follow Boutique Air Muscle Shoals on Facebook at Boutique Air MSL and book your flight through BoutiqueAir.com. Boutique Air.
Where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers. My wife and I sat down with Harlan Mitchell and discussed our own estate planning needs. I know in our experience, Harlan brought up questions that caused us to think about our current situation and what we need to do moving forward. When you sit down with Harlan for your free consultation, you're going to find out things that you may have not thought about when it comes to estate planning. I encourage you to go to BamaEstatePlanning.com or give Harlan Mitchell a call at 256-216-9884 and schedule your free consultation today.
Would you like enhanced energy, better moods, less fatigue, help with allergies, better sleep, mental clarity, or just want improvement of your overall immune health and well-being? Do you need to recover from intense activities, workouts, or sports? Then IV therapy at the Drip Factor inside Trinity Medical Center is right for you. Our IV drips are filled with nutrients, vitamins, and minerals that will help your body replenish, restore, and achieve your wellness goals. For more information, visit trinity-medicalcare.com and schedule your appointment today at Trinity Medical Center, located at 500 Governor's Drive.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference. Somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hi, folks. This is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark Wyatt Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark Wyatt Show. My daddy is your host, Mark Wyatt. Something good
today. Welcome to another edition of The Mark Wyatt Show and the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment. I am your host, Mark Wyatt. Today we have Matt Melancon on the program to talk about his experience in the military and how he rebounded through Operation Rebound and wants to talk to people and share his story across the country. Welcome to The Mark Wyatt Show, Matt.
I'm glad to be here, Mark.
I can see where you're going around to talk to people and sharing your message, and I'm sure that it has a great reception when you do it.
I mean, I've had incredible support throughout the whole process and some great mentors who have really helped me shape my story. And also something about sharing my story and learning to own it and also organize it really helped me organize my experiences as well.
I could see that, where you have to ultimately take it step by step through the process because you want people to know first, just like this interview, about you and your story and what put you to the point that you are right now. Let's talk about your high school career and what caused you to want to be in the military.
So I grew up in a small, sleepy little town in southern Utah, Cedar City, known for its Shakespeare Festival and affordable college. And a lot of my buddies, we were just getting to that age of graduation. And I come from a nice, big LDS family. And a lot of my siblings were just kind of settling down and starting families. And I could feel, it's going to sound cliche, but I could just feel my soul wanting more, You know, that scene in Star Wars where like Luke is just looking off to the two suns, you know, and I wanted to be more. I just wanted to leave an imprint on the world. And the war was still going on, and it was actually heating up, and I knew I had this opportunity to serve my country and also just become more. And so, yeah, after graduating high school, I signed up as a United States Army infantryman and was quickly shipped off to basic training. I was offered a chance to be a part of the Old Guard, which is a very a highly specialized unit of the Army where you have to be of certain height and you can't have any disfiguring scars or tattoos. And you have to have a certain degree of education in order to qualify for it, in which case you get to really represent the United States Army in political showings, and also you get to guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. But this would have deprived me of a chance to serve overseas, and so I actually declined that just because getting that chance to actually serve meant so much to me. I served as United States Army infantryman. In the community, we call it just a leg, and that means you're not airborne qualified or ranger qualified. You're just a guy going where you're told. We're called legs. I joined the Army to see the world and see what kind of man I become, and the Army loves jokes, and my first duty station was actually in Fort Riley, Kansas. And I like to say it's the only place in the world you can run on a quarter-mile track and have a headwind the whole way. So I immediately demonstrated my desire to serve and to succeed. And I was actually recruited into our battalion's sniper division. And so at a young age, I learned to gather information and communicate it to people who are making decisions in a clean and concise and effective way. And it's funny that since leaving the military, that skill has carried me so far. So yeah, I deployed to Iraq, northern Iraq, as a on a scout reconnaissance unit, and then we were tasked with guarding the first woman's college of our lifetime in the area, and it was just incredibly rewarding and fulfilling. It really helped keep any of the politics out of the war for me. And I actually came back from that deployment, had the opportunity to help train the next group of guys, and then got my first taste of leadership, and that helped me a lot. And then I kind of looked at the different unit calendars, and you are required to stay in the States for at least 12 months after a deployment. And so I found a unit that was deploying right on the 12-month mark out of Germany. And so I actually volunteered to go to that unit because I was just already tired of being in the States and I wanted to get back over there.
Matt, let's talk about just for a minute, and there's a purpose here, but talk about the basic premise of leadership. What are some of the highlights that you would go over with people about leadership?
Leadership? Oh, that's a fantastic question. I really enjoy just being that, the trying to bring purpose to the chaos. I mean, war is just so chaotic, and there's just so much that you can't understand with it, but we still all have a job to do. So being that low on the bottom of the leadership tier, my job was to keep everybody motivated, even though we didn't understand the full picture. Like, why are we going there now? You know, we weren't allowed, there just wasn't time to give us that 30,000 foot view. We just had to know that somebody had to go do it, and it might as well be us because somebody else might do it wrong, you know? And keeping everybody motivated, and when you're just humping what seems to be the whole world up this mountain, and hoping you can accomplish your mission with peace, but also knowing that you are part of the most powerful force on the planet. You know, it's it was an incredibly empowering time of my life.
Of course, there's a difference in talking about leadership and going point by point, and this is what leadership is, and actually putting it into practice. And leadership is not only for other people to be able to work together, but leadership for ourselves. When something happens to us and challenges us, that we take that role of not being a victim, but rather being a, in your instance, a veteran, and serving in the way that you would serve if you had two legs after the event happens. Tell us about how leadership played a role after you lost your legs.
So to kind of help fill in the gap, 3 months into that deployment into Afghanistan, I was deployed with some of the most incredible men and women I've ever met in my life. And 3 months into that deployment, my vehicle drove over a pressure plate activated improvised explosive device. And thankfully, the truck I was in was just state of the art, and it took the hit perfectly, dissipated the energy the best it could. But there was still so much vibrations coming through the floor that my feet actually just fragmented inside of themselves. And I retained consciousness through the attack. And so when my truck landed, I actually jumped out of my vehicle to attempt to get into the fight. And when I did that, I actually injured myself even more. And I was, thankfully, the attack was not a complex one. It was just the bomb that we drove over. And so I was immediately medically evacuated and quickly found myself stateside. And when the doctors looked at my feet, they were just kind of like, these feet are, they're bad, you know, and we should amputate them, but we have some new technology and we might be able to salvage them. And I was just not at that emotional place where I was willing to let go of my feet, you know, like, yes, I was an infantryman and a leg, and to be a leg, you need your legs, right? And so, the thought of like losing the military, losing my calling was just too much for me. So I actually fought for 2 years to try and save both of my feet. And it wasn't until a particularly nasty infection got into my left foot that forced the doctor's hands to amputate my left leg. And that was definitely like, that was rock bottom for me, because I was retired from the military. My relationship had fallen apart, and now I was losing, you know, in my mind, my freedom all at the same time.
Let's go to a break and we'll talk about that bottom point and then how you were able to come out of that situation to do what you're doing today. Will you stick with me?
Absolutely. Sounds great.
Right now, folks, we're talking to Matt Melancon. When we come back, we're going to talk more about that rock bottom point and how he was able to dig out of it. I hope you'll stick with us. You're listening to The Mark White Show and the Mary Fay Hedrick Good Deed segment, and I'm your host, Mark White.
A little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh. We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
Whether you're new to aviation or an experienced pilot looking to advance your skills, Go Vertical Aviation has you covered. With an excellent learning atmosphere and a staff committed to excellence in education, Go Vertical Aviation will customize a learning program just for you. For more information, go to goverticalaviation.com or call 256-412-5226. Be sure to follow Go Vertical Aviation on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Don't just go. Go Vertical.
Boutique Air in Muscle Shoals, Alabama offers direct flights to Atlanta, Nashville, and Pensacola. Boutique Air service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Follow Boutique Air Muscle Shoals on Facebook at Boutique Air MSL and book your flight through BoutiqueAir.com. Boutique Air.
Where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
The best way to buy, sell, and experience land is with Jonathan Berryhill. For your farm, ranch, recreational, hunting, timber, and acreage needs, contact National Land Realty Professional Jonathan Berryhill at 256-874-7354 or email at jberryhill@nationalland.com. Be sure to follow Jonathan Berryhill with National Land Realty on Facebook. This is your land.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers. Losing a loved one is hard, but losing a loved one and not having an estate plan is even harder. Attorney Harlan Mitchell witnessed what not having an estate plan can do to families and decided to use his experience to do something about it. I encourage you to go to BamaEstatePlanning.com or give Harlan Mitchell a call at 256-216-9884. Again, that website is BamaEstatePlanning.com. Let Harlan Mitchell help you with estate planning. Do it for those you love and do it today.
He's got a cold, nothing to worry about.
Just need a couple of stitches.
Your COVID rapid test is negative.
Oh boy, x-ray shows it's broken.
Trust Trinity Medical Care when you need urgent care or routine medical care. Walk-ins are welcome, or let Trinity help you virtually with telemedicine. Visit trinity-medicalcare.com for more information and follow them on Facebook. Trinity Medical Care, where your care comes first. Located on Governor's Drive and South Parkway.
Hey everybody, this is Paul Overstreet, and you are listening to The Mark White Show. Stay tuned, because Mark is doing some things on his show that's helping his community and uplifting people, so you stay with him.
He drives into the city, works extra hard all day, finishes up early, so he can get away. I get on second base. Won't your dad to watch him play?
Welcome back to the Mark White Show. We have been talking to Matt Melancon. He served in our Army, and he made a sacrifice. He wanted to serve in the military. He had a desire to serve our country. He hit rock bottom after a device was detonated beneath him, and he lost both of his feet. He was sharing with us in the last segment about the fact that he wanted to save his feet, and the doctors attempted to do that for a couple of years until it got to the point where the doctors said they're going to have to go. Matt, welcome back to the Mark White Show.
I'm glad to be here.
You're at that point where the doctors are saying the feet are going to have to go. We've done everything we can for the past 2 years. You didn't want to make that decision, obviously, because it took 2 years to get to that point. Share what your thoughts were at that moment when the doctors said, Matt, this is what we're going to have to do.
It's funny, because in my mind, I was like, I just can't give up on this. You know, I've already spent 22 surgeries and 2 years trying to salvage these things. I just, you know, it's that weird infantry, like, don't give up on the fight ideology that had really been turned against me. And it took that infection forcing me to let my left, because I mean, I appreciate at this time, I'm still wheelchair bound. I am living out of 14 different orange bottles. You know, I could never be more than an arm's reach from some of them. And, but in my mind, I was fighting the good fight. When that amputation, I woke up from it, and I was actually forced to go to physical therapy in order to receive my first prosthetic leg and everything. That's when occupational therapy was able to get their hands on me, and I had to go to these support groups, and I couldn't just hide from my new reality, like I had been doing for those 2 years, you know. And that's when I actually really started to experience how incredible prosthetic technology is and how far it's come. And I just discovered this whole new ability, and my pain was so much less that I noticed I was able to go sometimes days without having to take these pills that were just helping me cope. And at one point in time, I just finally realized, you know, like to take that plunge, and I actually just quit all these painkillers and these nerve blockers and these blood pressure medications that had just been getting me through the day. And that was my first real taste of freedom. And also it gave me something to fight for. Again, that infantryman spirit was able to be reignited.
Rock bottom is rock bottom. And if you're taking medications, a lot of people become dependent on those medications, and they don't necessarily find that fight within them, because a drug is taking care of their physical pain, and that's what they become dependent on, as opposed to finding the fight within them. How, with 14 different medications, 2 years of fighting to keep your feet, were you able to drop 14 prescriptions and find that fight within yourself?
The best way I can put it is like I crawled into a hot bath and wrote a Nickelback album. It was such a terrible, terrible experience. And I think my mind protects me from how truly awful. I mean, I was on methadone and Dilaudid. And if you have any experience with these drugs, they are a very necessary evil sometimes, but they are truly terrible to try and get out of your soul. And that's what I had to go through. And coming out the other side, and the way I was able to just breathe air again, I lack the vocabulary to truly articulate it.
One thing we haven't incorporated into the conversation is your support, because we all need somebody around us, whether it's our troops, whether it's our family, whether it's our church family, somebody. Who was it that supported you when you were in that worst moment, that rock bottom point, Matt?
In my mind, nobody. I had just become so afraid at who am I now? I mean, I'm 21 years old, 23 by now. Everything that mattered to me is gone. You know, it's been taken away from me. And I'm a very cheery and optimistic guy now. And a lot of people think that I've just always been this way. But no, I was in a truly dark period. I was very angry, and I was very just not a great person to be around at this time. And just all driven by fear. And as I went through this process and discovered this link, and people were reaching out to me, and granted, I'm surrounded by the greatest generation of disabled veteran the world has ever seen. I mean, just phenomenal human beings. But for some reason in my mind, it was a case of like, they are them and I am me. And there was no connection. It's very strange.
Some of that comes from lack of feeling in control of ourselves. If we don't feel like we have control, nobody else is going to take that for us. We have to find control within ourselves and face those fears that you have actually elaborated on a little bit, and talk about the fears and be open about what you're dealing with. But internally, you decided to find the fight within you, and you started a comeback. Let's talk about that.
Right. And so I actually became so active over the course of the next 9 months after my first amputation. And I was actually invited to go attend recreational therapy, invited me to sporting events. And that was my first taste of adaptive sports. And I'm never going to forget going to, it was actually a snowboarding camp. While I was there, I met some of my first civilian amputee athletes. And for some reason, I cannot explain it, but meeting them and these incredible individuals that became quote unquote disabled in their youth, you know, some of them 7 years old, some of them younger, and this life that I had been terrified of, that was just the only life they knew. Something about the power they had within them and the way they saw the world, it just shattered this little wall I had built around myself that was keeping people out.
That sounds pretty surreal as I'm thinking about it, to look around and you see people who look like you, because you're looking for people who are in similar boat. You want to have that confidence. You want to have that strength. And it sounds to me like you had a very thin wall, but it was a wall that was very strong, and you were able to then penetrate it once you see this group of people who look like you and are doing things that you maybe didn't imagine that you could again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say that was the biggest shift in my perspective. I went from being so angry and so afraid and feeling like so many people that I had once called my friends and were important to me had abandoned me. And I needed to not give up because I needed to prove them wrong for not being there for me. And instead, I was able to just completely pivot the way I saw things. And I realized there were so many incredible doctors and nurses and physical therapists and my prosthetists that even as mean and nasty as I had been to them, had never given up on me and continued to believe in me. And yeah, there was a small group of people I could prove wrong. But there was this incredible group of people that I could prove right. And that was when I decided, that's when the mat that everybody gets to enjoy now was really born. And I actually continued to be so active that I actually wore out my other leg, my real leg. And I came hobbling back into the doctor's office and I was like, hey, you know, what are you doing next Friday? And they're like, why? And I was like, well, I know you do surgeries on Friday. And they're like, oh no. Like there had never actually been an elective bilateral amputee coming out of the Center for Intrepid at that point. All the bilateral amputees had been traumatic. So there really hadn't been a choice. And I was the first one being like, nah, let's double down and get rid of this. And I received a healthy pushback from the medical community to be like, you don't realize how much you still need this leg. Give us 9 months and we'll refuse it and refurbish it. And you'll be able to walk on it again. And I'm like, yeah, but will I ever be able to run without needing a brace? Will I ever be able to snowboard? How long will it last? And it was one of those, I just discovered this incredible community that I wanted to be a bigger part of, and I was willing to just risk. The risk was completely worth it.
You make a very important point that I think most people wouldn't even think about until they were in a situation like you were in, where a person thinks, oh, I can save my leg. I've lost one, but I can save the other. And in our minds, we're thinking, okay, great, we can save one leg. But what you're talking about is the fact that, okay, you saved your leg, but it is still damaged to the point that you will not be able to function in the way that you wanted to.
Absolutely. And I mean, going into my first amputation and signing those papers and, you know, I mean, it is not a simple process to have a limb hacked off. I'll tell you that. It is a lot of paperwork and a lot of doctors coming in and making sure you knowing what you're doing. And then being wheeled into that operating room and that light just beaming into your eyes and then watching that doctor just push that mask down onto your face, you know, and knowing when you wake up, it's going to be gone. And the first time I just cried because it was the end of Sergeant Melancon. But
or so you thought.
Right. But allowing my heart to be open and embrace this incredible community. The second time, it wasn't the end of anything. You know, in my mind, it was the beginning of everything that was to be.
It takes special equipment to be able to have the maneuverability, ability to function in an athletic performance type way?
There's energy conserving prosthetics, and then there's like range of motion prosthetics. And the VA, the Salt Lake City VA, and even the San Antonio VA cover all of them for me. I am incredibly empowered thanks to the Department of Veteran Affairs.
That's great. That is great.
Oh, yeah. Truly grateful.
What did you decide was your passion when it came to athletics?
Just the way when I'm on a snowboard and I still have that warrior spirit within me and I need a fight. It's important that what I'm fighting is also something I can respect and admire. And so when it's funny because it's kind of counterculture to snowboarding. Like I meet snowboarders that are from the civilian side of things and they feel very at one with the mountain. They're more like surfer-esque, where they're just like one with nature and the spirit and the vibes. Whereas like me, it's like me versus the mountain, you know? Like, I will not be defeated by you. I will win. I'm going to do whatever I want. Like, I'm in charge. Knowing the whole time the mountain is in charge. And I am a guest. And also just how much the way the mountain humbles my spirit and how small I feel in its shadow. It's truly home for me. And when I'm on my snowboard and I'm carving and I'm just pitted in a toe side turn, like I'm hovering almost 6 inches off the ground, going 60 miles an hour, strapped to a piece of carbon fiber that's strapped to more carbon fiber, you know?
Yes.
And then I feel that centrifugal force. It is the most surreal experience. I can't even properly describe it.
You were talking, Matt, about the success that you were having with the equipment provided by the VA. At some point, you found out about Challenged Athletes Foundation Operation Rebound.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I discovered them very early on. And Challenge Athletes Foundation is very good at having a good mix of people with different physical impairments from both like the civilian side of things and the military side of things. And I think it's really important that you have both sides.
There is a community element within the military. When you see fellow veterans, it just does something different to you.
Absolutely. And I think going through an injury and having your identity taken away and having to rediscover yourself is such a powerful thing that civilian amputees, they bring just this grace to that process. You know, when we see how incredible their lives are, it just really helps take away that fear from us. I think we bring a special kind of drive. Those of us that become disabled later on in life bring a special kind of drive to the equation as well. And I'm really grateful of how CAF is able to walk between both worlds.
How old are you now, Matt?
Right now, I'm 30.
All right, so you're getting pretty close to being called an old man when it comes to military, right?
Closer than not, that's for sure.
They'll look to you to be a mentor, and you've embraced that role.
Oh, absolutely. That's actually a key part of what I do now is I'm the guy who you call if you want to hack off a body part. It's not something I ever pictured for myself, but it's incredibly rewarding to just people hear about me through the community and they reach out and I'm not in a position to tell them to do that. I'm just in a position to tell them that if they do choose to do that one way or another, it will be okay. You know, that everything they hope and dream of is on the other side of all of that fear they have within them.
Otherwise, they're sitting there in front of a computer Googling WebMD, trying to read threads that are similar to what they may have experienced and trying to read through the internet and sort through all the different opinions and thoughts. But when you can actually talk to a person who understands, and it's a person you can physically touch and know that they exist, that has to bring a great peace of mind to so many people.
If you're in that position where your body has become your own prison, you're talking to people who are traumatic amputees, it's very different. You know, like they woke up just fine, and then all of a sudden something happened, and they woke up again, and all of a sudden their body part was gone, you know, and it's traumatizing, and it's just, it's very different than consciously going to sleep, knowing that when you wake up, it'll be gone, and everything is going to be on you. And so a lot of the people I help mentor have only been talking to people who had terrible experiences as amputees and wish they could have their body part back. And so I try and just be a voice from the other side with that.
It's hard for us to process what it would be like to not have that limb that you've had all of your life. And you've mentioned earlier about kid maybe that's 7 years old, that this is something that they've experienced for all their life. For mm-hmm. somebody who this is sudden, you're an older person and you lose this, it's far different because you are now having to accept the fact that you had it for this long and now you're having to incorporate a new method, a new way to be able to adjust and overcome the situation that you're in.
Absolutely. When life just gets going so fast and we all get caught up in the, you know, just the spilled coffee and the delayed flights and all that sort of stuff. What helps center and ground me is I just remember that scared 21-year-old kid lying in that hospital bed being told that his days as a gunfighter were over. And who did I desperately need to walk through that door and not just tell me that everything was going to be okay, but help me feel like everything was going to be okay? And that's just who I challenge myself to be every day.
And a warrior needs a battle. And you talked always about the battle with the mountain. And you have to have something that it's you against, Matt.
I might not get to be there for the next Matt Melanchon lying in that hospital bed, but I do want to be a part of a mentorship that helps prepare that civilian amputee that's going to get to be there for the next Matt Melanchon, you know? And I'm always so grateful to the Challenge Athletes Foundation for not just empowering me with, because some of the technology, the most recent technology I'm helping develop for snowboarding, it's being researched and developed, and the VA can't cover it. And the Challenge Athletes Foundation is helping me with that. And the technology is going to change the face of adaptive sports forever. And CAF is there for me through that. And not just that, but also the getting to go to San Diego for the triathlon and the run clinic and getting to be that mentor, getting to be that person that these kids that are losing their limbs get to look up to.
There may be somebody listening right now who is having a 21-year-old Matt Melanchon moment, a 23-year-old Matt Melanchon moment, and they want a 30-year-old Matt Melanchon moment. How can people reach out to you, Matt, and find out more information and be able to have that open line of discussion?
I'm very active on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Mad Matt, so like Mad Max, but Mad Matt 337. Or if you do reach out to the Challenge Athletes Foundation, they have my personal information. They'll get you in touch with me. I do a lot of prosthetic technical consulting. So helping people understand what is a good prosthetic foot or leg to start with. And if they do go into sports, and then the prosthetic we use for snowboarding is great for the gym, it's great for mountain biking, but it can be quite technical. And so I help people set that up as well. I really love every opportunity I can to just pay it forward and help strengthen our community.
I want to also share how people can get to Challenged Athletes Foundation Operation Rebound and Challenged Athletes Foundation. They can go to challengedathletes.org. With that being said, on Facebook, people can go to Operation Rebound, CAF. Nico connected us. We don't want to leave Nico out. He's been a big part of this.
Never.
Integral part of the communications that I've had with members of Challenged Athletes Foundation Operation Rebound.
Nico's the greatest agent I've ever had. No one's ever been hyped me as much as Nico. And no one ever will.
I love that. Well, he's done a great job pulling this together and having me talk to people who are members of this special organization, and it's helping me. I'm beginning to understand more and more with each person. There is a common thread between you. Every person's story is different, but there is something that pulls you all together, and it's not necessarily the fact that you lost a limb. There's something inside each one of you that you found that makes you a family.
It's learning to let go of something that we hold so dear. It wasn't losing my legs. It was losing the community that I was willing to fight and die for. But then circling back around and realizing, like, I never lost it. It just changed. And I think it definitely has something to do with just that hitting that rock bottom and learning to be okay with yourself and then learning to grow from that. I think that's something that we all share and just connects us.
That's a great message, Matt, and I hope somebody that's listening right now will make that effort to make the connection with Matt or with Challenged Athletes Foundation, Challenged Athletes Foundation, Operation Rebound. And I appreciate you joining me here on the Mark White Show today, Matt.
Again, grateful for the opportunity. Thank you.
Folks, we've been talking to Matt Melancon. He served in the Army. He is now a veteran, and he is thriving, and he has a message to share, and you heard part of that message today, and I encourage you, if you or someone you know needs to be pulled out from rock bottom, reach out to this organization or find someone else that you can reach out to and get the ball rolling on taking the first steps in your life to make a major change. We all have an opportunity to change our attitudes and change our perspective on life. And Matt took his, and he is now moving forward in a big way. So we appreciate Matt Melancon joining us here on the Mark White Show today. You've been listening to another edition of the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment, and I am your host, Mark White. Who live and love in my home.
These are my kind of people.
Hello there, everybody. This is DJ Svoboda with the Imagine Friends of Imagineville, dedicated to spreading autism acceptance and autism inclusion, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, everybody. This is DJ Thomas. You know, raindrops may be falling on your head, but on Kyla's corner, she's living life sunny side up. Nothing seems to
fit. You are my sunshine, my only. This is Kyla Carter of Kyla's Corner. You can hear my segment every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Eastern Time on The Mark White Show. Remember to tune in every Saturday and always live life sunny side up.
Please don't take my sunshine away.
Is it time for a haircut? Go see my friends Philip Butler and B.H. Parker at Southwind Barbershop, located at 1637 Lee Street in Rogersville, Alabama. Give them a call at 256-247-5658. That's 256-247-5658.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set a minute. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Highway 70 in Appling, or in Arlington and Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the University Preparatory Diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
Oh, won't you hear me, people, when I say, well, let's all do something good today. Oh,